Many people wouldn't have guessed that at some point in time, visiting cities and countries across the world would turn into a major profitable industry where countries competed to seize and thus thrive in that industry. Today, tourism has turned into an industry that encompasses a variety of services, from transportation to hotel accommodations, tour guides, and lastly, the chefs preparing the delicious meals. Iran is a country with very high potential in this sector, who is gearing up to make its mark in the industry upon the adoption of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action.
Hi, I'm Sarah Khorramnejad, and this week we'll be taking a look at tourism in Iran and the money it's generating for us. Stay with us.
Iran's Alborz and Zagros Mountains in the north and west of the country, along with the deserts located in the east, have resulted in Iran having four simultaneous seasons, in each of which rests beautiful natural landscapes. Iran's location, which neighbors two large areas of water, has further added to this diversity. On the other hand, Iran's geographical location has resulted in it being home to several different races and kingships. Due to this fact, hundreds of archaeological sites that are 200 to 7,000 years old can be found in each town and village in the country. At the time being, another key point that adds to Iran's advantage in this industry must be assessed. Iran is the world's cheapest tourist destination. This fact has been reported by the World Economic Forum, or WEF, who has assessed nearly 141 countries. If we take Iran's natural attractions, such as ancient sites, into consideration, Iran can be considered a country that, monetarily speaking, provides considerable output in relation to minimal input.
Iran is one of the countries.
When it comes to tourism, Iran is among the rarest of its attractive countries. These attractions comprise culture, historical and religious, ritualistic, as well as a diverse range of natural ones, which have taken together turned Iran into a world powerhouse when it comes to halal tourism, which is a trend that we wish to maintain and perpetuate so as to continue providing a safe and sound haven of tourism for mainly Muslim tourists from around the world. Moreover, the world-class therapeutic and treatment facilities that exist in Iran's medical facilities has also made Iran a very attractive destination for our neighboring countries, whose people are quite happy with both the prices and qualities of these specialized services in comparison to the other regional states.
CERN people believe that the existence of generous government subsidies from various different sectors of Iran's economy has resulted in Iran's prices to remain low.
In other words, from the handicraft sector on the one hand and the foodstuff industry on the other, considering that they too have other subsidies items, namely in the agricultural sector, where we have full tax exemptions, which makes their products basically a lot more cheaper, as if they've been relieved some 50%+ in terms of pricing schedules, which in turn translates into what can be found in our local markets in terms of what tourists might be actually buying. The same holds true for handicrafts, which their pricing too has a lot to do with a series of tax exemptions and subsidies. If we examine the Iranian market closely, it will be clear that Iran's economy is still a subsidy-driven one, where except for a few energy carrier items, the subsidies of which have been removed. The rest of the locally produced items, especially in the agriculture and hospitality sectors, are benefiting from state subsidies and exemptions, which have all rendered over products and services commercially competitive.
Statistics show that Iran is currently ranked 15th in terms of tourist attractions in the world. A series of hurdles, such as sanctions and propaganda by the West, especially in the media, has prevented Iran's tourism industry from flourishing. From this $1.5 trillion industry, Iran has been able to only obtain $7.5 million,
and therefore has ranked 35th in this respect. With that being said, countries ranked 46th have also been able to successfully lure in tourists. It is now being said that due to the fact that the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action was agreed upon, the number of tourists in Iran has increased considerably. This fact heightened my curiosity, so I packed my bags and traveled to the historic city of Yazd to meet up with a group of tourists to get a better understanding of this reality. Yazd is a city in the heart of the desert. It's interesting to see the various methods the people of this city have employed in order to keep what was once full of dirt full of life. From using windmills to keep a naturally warm climate cool, to digging up water canals in order to have access to water, this process has been going on for thousands of years. To learn more about Yazd and the number of tourists that visit the city year-round, I decided to visit the Yazd Office of Cultural Heritage, Handicrafts, and Tourism. The office itself is located in one of the most historic buildings in the city. What increase in percentage has Yazd seen in tourists?
Our tourism has greatly picked up, especially in terms of foreign and inbound tourism. Although at the local level and as far as domestic tourism goes, the pace and patterns haven't changed that much. But in these past years, notably the last three, as regards inbound foreign tourism that I've examined, we jumped from 7,000 people in 2012 to 13,000 in 2013, and later to 25,000, and in 2014 to 65,000. Which in 2015-2016, we have also had another hike. This growth rate has been acceptable. It's interesting that the median growth for inbound tourism across the whole country has been around 2.5 times during these past 2 years.
Yazd is a great example to show Iran's history and possession of antiques. These antiques date back somewhere between 8 to 12,000 years ago. City officials have tried very hard to resist the pressures put on them to reshape the city. That is why it is so easy to find historic buildings and wind catchers that function as ACs in this city.
Yazd is a particular city in Iran. It has both deserts and rugged terrains and is situated in between, so its attractions are quite diverse. Yazd's historical texture is its most appealing tourist attractions, where we have around 1,000 hectares of unique historical significance, the totality of which is made up of mud and unbaked bricks, and stands as world's biggest mud brick structure.
As the weather cools down in this beautiful city, the number of tourists have increased. Although this city doesn't have any fancy buildings or locations and has rather kept it simple, tourists have a strong liking to Yazd. I plan on meeting and interviewing with a few tourists to ask why they chose this city, this country, and Iran as a whole. Through the hotel I was staying at, I met a group of German tourists who were visiting Yazd. I decided to accompany them to both see some of Yazd's historic sites as well as get their take on tourism in Iran. The first place the tour leader took us was an ancient cemetery called Dahme. Then and there, I took the opportunity to speak with one of the German tourists.
My name is Ingeborg Pitt. I'm from Germany, a university town called Gießen.
What made you want to travel to Iran of all places?
I'm very interested in the culture and in the beauty of the country. I've always wanted to go there and visit also the Seidenstraße Uzbekistan, which I didn't so far.
In addition to historical sites that lure in tourists, prices also play a big part. Today, the currency exchange rate, along with the general price level, is very important in tourists' decision-making process as to which country to visit. In this sense, Iran ranks first among the countries in the world. $1 in Iran offers the tourist a greater range of goods and services than any other country.
It's impossible for us to determine the details of our tourist-based income in Iran. When a tourist steps in a given city, he or she engages in the city's economic cycle. As there is a multitude of touch bases and places of sales, from the hotel, taxi, and souvenir shopping, to purchasing other types of recreation and customized tours. All this taken together will then constitute the money a tourist brings into Iran. Regardless, our estimate for any tourist that visits Yazd city is around $400. Maybe the total sum of money isn't that good, but since it enters the local economic cycle from the outside, it therefore tends to impact it positively and enables all residents to benefit from the same.
It's not exactly possible to determine the amount of money tourists bring with them into a country. However, it's been estimated that most of the money has gone into the categories of food and services. The monetary development of these categories has indirectly had a positive effect in others such as farming, transportation, and handcrafting. Iran's economists have a dream that Iran's economy will not solely be reliant on oil. Tourism and the money that it generates can make that dream into a reality.
How do you like the currency exchange rate? Are things a lot cheaper here than they are in Spain?
A little bit cheaper, yes.
So it's not too much of a difference, it's just very little?
Well, there are differences.
I think it's good value. So it's not the cheapest country on earth or the most expensive, but what you get for your money is exceptional value, and it's certainly at a price that most tourists, especially, let's say, from the West.
Well, compared to Japan, everything cheaper.
It's cheaper, yeah.
It's just a challenge to carry all the money with us because we cannot pay with credit card, so we have to carry all the expenses that you want to make personally with us.
It has been said that one of the reasons why prices are so low in Iran is due to the fact that the government has been extremely weak in implementing taxes. Since the economy is dependent primarily on oil resources, there hasn't been any particular attention paid to taxes on revenues yet. Thus, certain sectors such as tourism have benefited from this situation.
Compared to all West European countries, who are mainly tax-based economies, we tend to prove much more affordable in terms of tourism. And no doubt the tax then reflects to the tourist cost. But over here in Iran, as already spoken, both in the hospitality rates as well as recreational expenses, as they aren't based on tax levies where a major part has been exempted, we then witness some 70 to 80% more affordability compared to our tourist competitions.
The price of consumer goods is an important aspect for tourism. I bought this bottle of water for 500 toman. That's roughly around 15 cents. Now, with the current rate of exchange, if I bought this very same bottle in London, it will come out to be $3. This concept applies to almost every aspect of tourism. The price of consumer goods and tourist activities are so cheap for certain tourists that it's almost more affordable to stay in their destination city than to return home.
If you were to buy a sandwich in France where you pay something around 8 euros for fast food, here you get a fine gourmet meal with the same amount.
Apart from food prices, the cost of staying in Iran is also very low. There are different price ranges regarding hotels, but a good hotel can be found for less than $80. There are many luxurious hotels whose cost of accommodation is high, but in comparison to many non-European hotels, their price is considerably lower.
Well, in terms of star-based service quality, it is true that we define ourselves based on international standards. As when it is said this is a 5-star hotel or a 7-star, well, there's criteria for that. Of course, there might be a little difference here, but the standards used here aren't local ones and are global standards being applied locally, tough in a customized way, where you might see some facilities on that specific star level aren't being offered here. In terms of other local issues, there are differences. No doubt around the world as far as transportation goes. In terms of coverage and comprehensiveness, they might certainly prove at times better than us. But this comparison is true only if it is made to some West European, American and Asian destinations. Whereas if we're compared to great many South American, African and indeed Asian destinations, then we would be standing out. Having said this, let's not forget, when we have a country like ours, which is equivalent in area to 22 European states, we will then definitely face certain challenges.
In addition to economic issues, one of the essential factors that have led to the number of tourists is safety. The idea that foreign tourists visit an area where safety is guaranteed is impossible. Iran is located in an area where threats are rampant around the country. Opposite to what many believe, however, Iran is actually very stable in an area that is representative of instability. How do you like the safety here? Do you feel like it's a very safe place?
Very safe place, and very kind people.
Well, we were a little apprehensive, and our families were a bit worried, to say the least. My daughter didn't want me to come, but now we're here, we feel very welcome. It's been, you know, a pleasure, actually, because so many people are very friendly.
Never felt challenged or harassed somewhere in any places, not at all.
I know there is a lot going on in the media, and I know it's not all true about it, and that's why I wanted to see it firsthand.
Apprehensive.
Yeah, apprehensive, yeah. And you're right, and everybody you speak to has got some kind of apprehension about Iran, which takes a few hours and you realise that there's, of course, nothing to worry about.
People are very friendly. We are always greeted with great joy, and it's a pleasure to see the people. And that's actually a whole different picture you get here from what you hear in the media.
Honestly speaking, my mom was freaked out when I told her that I'm going with my husband. And actually, I have a few friends in Japan from Iran, and then they're like, no problem, going there. So.
Why not?
Security is pretty high in Iran, whereas we don't have and have never had such problems as extremist terrorism, such Daesh threats. Also that our accredited travel agencies too have their own methods of ensuring safety and security in Iran. I wish to say the notion of Iranophobia has little to do with tourism, and it is how some countries portray us negatively, claiming we have daily clashes on our streets, which is absolutely false, thanks to our effective legal and disciplinary standards. Yet most importantly is the civilizational dimension, which as history attests, Iranians have proven traditionally hospitable to foreign visitors and have consistently been named as the most welcoming destination for tourists.
Many tourists highlighted in their interviews that their experience with Iranians have been very pleasant. Iranians are known for being great hosts and respecting foreigners. This isn't a common behavior, rather certain cultures lack it.
We get a lot of tourists who've come to Iran, and upon being asked what has touched you the most in your trip, they invariably respond the people. They speak of Iranian people, of their friendliness and generosity. One of our advantages is this very unique sense of hospitality and warmth that attract tourists.
The Iranian government is planning to attract more tourists. The country has about 130 four- and five-star hotels. To attract 10 million tourists annually, Iran needs to have at least 270 four- and five-star hotels. This amount of tourists will create 4 million jobs and produce around $13.6 billion for the country.
At the moment, around 6% of our GDP comes from the hospitality and tourism sector, which amounts to some $22 to $23 billion. Out of this 6%, 2% comes from foreign inbound tourism and 4% generated by local and domestic tourists. Well, the figure is pretty big and is around 70,000 billion tomans. Irrespective of this enormous income as generated by this sector compared to certain other sectors, and in terms of the foreign inbound visits, which is just one-third of the whole revenues, we believe this figure can be quadrupled within the next decade. And concerning the local and domestic travels, we believe we can witness a tripled revenue. Of course, this is all necessities making the right investments.
In order to increase the number of five-star hotels, Iran is in need of money. Money that has been hard to attain in recent years due to grueling sanctions that have been implemented by the West. After the gradual elimination of sanctions, investors are now facing an untapped market that holds the possibility of high profit. Iran's partnership with foreign investors is something the government has welcomed with open arms. Lack of funding has resulted in the fabric of many historic sites becoming damaged.
We enjoy a great variety and diversity of historical and cultural sites, which are in need of reparation and renovation in order to open them to tourist visits. Well, needless to say, our availabilities and funds inside the country, due to certain restrictions, have been very tight. As of the previous year, and in view of the government's general outlook and approach, as envisaged for all executive apparatuses by the president, which aims to maximize the public and private sector contribution in our activities, we were encouraged to look for alternative sources of finance, other than that which the government holds, and as a result, we have managed to refurbish a good number of these sites. With the help of the private sector and the per legal capacity accorded to us, we're now able to ensure the private sector that in return for what they financially offer for the sake of repairing or renovating historical and cultural monuments, they be allowed to generate income by using those very sites themselves as operator.
It is important to note that an increase of tourists doesn't solely have positive effects, but rather negative ones as well. Arrival of tourists in certain parts of the world has caused damage to the environment, as well as the historic monuments of the country. The existence of cultural clashes between tourists and locals is another example of the negative impacts an increased amount of tourists can have on a city or a country.
I am living on the hospitality sector, and I'm busy in this area and have done a lot to promote it, and I'm living with it day and night. And yet, I can't deny my concerns about the manner in which we're currently looking on the tourism sector, the sector where sustainable development hasn't been properly incorporated in it, where the indigenous population's economy hasn't been factored in, where our culture hasn't been irretrievably damaged. We have a weakened environment now despite the richness of our nature. Every tourist consumes roughly around 300 liters of water daily. A country which faces drought must embark on its management. At least this is expected from the traveler or visitor, where the affordability of our costs will no longer suffice.
One of the problems that tourism officials expressed was that many tourists visit only certain well-known cities in Iran, and within those cities, only see certain specific locations. This problem is not limited to foreign tourists, but rather Iranian tourists as well. This has led to 1, many tourists being deprived of certain attractions, and 2, the fabric of many historic sites becoming damaged due to the fact that a large number of tourists visit only those locations.
The number of local tourists traveling throughout the country must be distributed evenly. We sometimes see that this isn't done in our country, where the wealth as generated by this sector doesn't reach the Sistan and Balochistan region of our country, or in Bushehr or Kermanshah, despite their tremendous attractions. Unfortunately, tourist travelings are all restricted to a few golden cities instead. A lot more attention is needed here, and we shouldn't be too infatuated with fancy words that suggest tourism transforms our economy and can replace the country's oil revenues. That notion of sustainable development and environment must not be forgotten here. These are a series of bitter experiences that certain other countries have already experienced. So now that we're about to begin this same process, although belatedly, it's advisable that we be extremely cautious of these things.
Many changes are expected to occur as a result of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Iran's depiction in the media has already seen a shift. This is optimal time for Iran's tourism industry to take advantage of, to not only further strengthen itself, but to prove Iran to be contrary to the propaganda that has circulated all these years. I'm Sarah Khorramnejad. Join us next week as we investigate yet another issue.